Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
It's more than just odds.
It's more than just matchups and lineups.
It's everything.
All of it blending together to give you the complete picture.
And you'll only get it right here.
On the home of the winning edge. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Pro football full circle.
Third down and six. A big third down. Hurts keeps. Hurts cuts. Hurts has the first down. And Jalen Hurts might have just put it away for the Eagles. Touchdown. His third of the day.
A great week of NFL action. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz getting you prepared. We're recapping week number 12. Have one more game later today, Washington and Seattle. But we're going to turn our attention as well to week number 13. Great action to recap. George, some news and notes around the league. Minnesota Vikings running back Dalvin Cook injured yesterday in the loss to San Francisco. We'll have an MRI done on that shoulder. Breaking news out of Big D. They lost on Thanksgiving. Now going to be without their head coach, Mike McCarthy. He's in COVID protocols. They do take on New Orleans this coming Thursday night. We got to see how Dallas responds with a week of preparation for that big battle with Trevor Siemian and the New Orleans Saints. But I want to leave off today's show with Matt Stafford. Remember great old Matt Stafford being united with the boy wonder, Sean McVay. Just great things. This was the team to beat in the NFC West. This was the Super Bowl contender. Matt Stafford, 5,000 yards plus, 50-plus touchdowns. He just needed a change of landscape. Well, guess what? Matt Stafford, three straight games with a pick six. They lose this matchup as a two-point favorite. 36-28 gets outdueled again by Aaron Rodgers. And I'm going to ask you this biggest question. Is Matt Stafford the answer in L.A. right now, or is he just a loser that can't win the big game?
Is he the answer? Sure, he's the answer. The question is, what's the question? Is he a great quarterback? No. I don't think anyone was ever saying he was. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Tom Brady. On and on. He's a second, third-tier quarterback. He can win you a Super Bowl, but he's going to need help around him. He's not playing well right now. Maybe it's the injuries that we heard about yesterday morning, right? I don't know. I always wonder if this is a cover story about someone not playing well. Also, we hear about, oh, his arm's bothering him, his elbow's bothering him, his back is bothering him, his ankle's bothering him. And I'm not making that up. That's what they said was bothering him. Now, listen, I'm sure they are. You know, to what degree, we don't know. But I have no doubt they're bothering. You're a football player, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hit. So that's even quarterbacks. They do still get hit in today's game. So it depends on what degree it is. Do I think he can win them a Super Bowl? Sure. Do I think they're the best team in the NFC? No. I think they might have been at one time early in the season. They're not anymore. But that being said, I don't know who the best team is. We go through this team like every week. We pick apart a team that we thought was good, not so good anymore. The Rams we thought at one point. Then Arizona, now they have injuries. Right? Green Bay, oh, Aaron Rodgers on his toe and COVID. You know, I don't think anybody really thought the Cowboys. Tampa Bay, all of his secondary is pathetic. You know, that sort of thing. So we go on and on and on here. And we can do the same thing in the AFC, by the way. We love KC, we hate KC. Love Buffalo, hate Buffalo. Baltimore, yeah, no. You know, we go on and on and on with these teams about who's better, who's not. Tennessee, we thought was great at one time. Now they can't get out of their own way because of injuries. It's just the nature of the NFL. It's why what we always say, any given Sunday.
Yeah, I totally agree. But Stafford was a guy that never won a playoff game. Okay, and people said, you know what? It was Detroit. He didn't have players around him. Oh, really? He had Megatron, one of the best wide receivers of the NFL at that given time. Just a dominant force. Couldn't win a big game in college in Athens for Georgia. He's basically a compiler. And that's what he's doing in the NFL. At the start of the year, everybody was raving about Matt Stafford. Put it down. Put the money down on Stafford. Put it down on Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, guys that still get paid a ton of money and don't step up in big games. That's what it comes down to. We pay Aaron Donald a ton of money. Yes, he's a dominant defensive tackle. Has he taken a game over and when it counts? Have you seen Aaron Donald step up in a playoff game and take a game over the way LT did back in the day for the New York Giants? Have you seen Jalen Ramsey change the landscape of that defense? Yeah, you get an interception in the first quarter, great, but you can't stop Devontae Adams when it counts in a playoff environment. Your secondary got abused yet again by Aaron Rodgers, and your quarterback, supposedly that's supposed to take you to the promised land, three straight games now, a pick six against some of the better teams that they faced on the schedule. So my question is the boy wonder that great, or is he starting to regress as well, and does he jump for greener pastures, potentially in terms of getting a college job the way Kingsbury's being mentioned with Oklahoma?
Well, the Kingsbury with Oklahoma thing, I can almost guarantee you the people who leaked that were Kingsbury's agent. Right, because he has 1 year left on his contract. They're trying to get a new contract there. So that was leaked by his agent to get some leverage there. Oh, you don't want? Well, he'll go to Oklahoma then if you don't want to give him that big contract. That sort of thing. So I'll take that with a lot of grains of salt there. As far as would he leave? Sure, once you get the contract's not there, I don't think the Rams are going to let him go. You see so many other teams get these young guys and they can't coach at all. Right, and you're talking, speaking of young coaches, LaFleur might be one of the best. And you guys only lost, what, 9 games, something silly like that in a couple of NFL, 3-4 years? This guy is a very good coach. The Green Bay Packers hit it right here. I'd be very careful about changing coaches when you have at least a decent one, a good one. Now, do I think the league is caught up to him? Yeah, I think that might be part of it. Yeah, I think the league is caught up to his offense a little bit because, you mentioned all the players. Stafford, you got Kupp. Whatever you think of Beckham, Higbee's a decent tight end. Henderson's a good running back here. I think he's still not scoring points. Maybe that's on the offensive system then.
Yeah, we're just getting started. LA is a 13-point favorite over Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. This getting weak. When we come back, we'll be breaking down week number 13.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, recapping NFL week number 12. Also going to flip the page to week number 13. We start in Big D. We talked about Mike McCarthy not being on the sidelines this Thursday night on the road in New Orleans. They are 5.5-point favorites right now on FanDuel, -105. You want to take a shot on Trevor Siemian and the Saints that absolutely look pathetic against the Buffalo Bills on Thursday night. Go ahead there, -115 plus the 5.5 points. Total set at 47 and a hook at -110. George, that performance by both teams on Thanksgiving. You saw Dak Prescott. You saw the Cowboys move the football. That wasn't the issue. It was the defense in terms of a beaten down Las Vegas offense that, Waller went down basically in the second quarter, but you couldn't stop Hunter Renfrow. You couldn't stop Derek Carr on that offensive attack. They beat you by 3 points in that matchup. Give me some thoughts about where you stand as a Cowboy fan, because no Mike McCarthy. This team now has lost 2 of the last 3. They're 7-4 overall. Thank God that Philadelphia lost to the Giants yesterday, because if they won, you'd only be a game up on Philly and Jalen Hurts. So this team is reeling. They need to get back to basics. I do feel they can win this ball game Thursday night on the road against a beaten-down Saints team.
Well, it's actually there's a lot of here. First of all, the Saints should be healthier Thursday night. Kamara is practicing along with a couple of other guys here, so they should be healthy. Ingram as well. So they'll be a healthier team. So should the Cowboys. Actually, you make an argument the Cowboys be the healthiest they've been all season, or should be Thursday. They should get Cooper back. They should get Lamb back. They should get DeMarcus Lawrence back, and they might just get Randy Gregory back as well. So all four of those guys, their top two pass rushers, top two wide receivers, could all be back on Thursday. I would be surprised if three out of four aren't at least back. So it'll be the healthiest they've been all season as DeMarcus Lawrence has been out all year. So that will certainly help. You saw on the Thanksgiving game, if Micah Parsons wasn't getting the car, nobody was. He had all day to throw back there a few times. And you know, the Cowboys will get exposed that way. You know, their secondary still has issues. Leighton Van Der Esch is invisible at linebacker. So it should help getting all those guys back. Dak, I mean, you didn't mention the offense all that well because the points they scored, but they disappeared at times. And once again, Dak, when the pressure was on, nowhere to be found. He had two chances to win that game, failed miserably in both, missed some easy passes. It's what Dak is. If you're a Cowboy fan, you watch the Cowboy games, this is what Dak is. But my biggest complaint against him, when they play big games, he folds in big moments. You know, he had a chance to drive at the end of the game. Dallas Cowboys had time within a touchdown range. Touchdown wins the game. Throws two passes to Dalton Schultz. Neither one had a snowball's chance in hell of being completed. And on the first drive of overtime, Dallas won the toss. They go three and out. He misses a wide open Cedric Wilson for a 5-yard pass that would have gotten the first down. He just threw it terribly. I said, not surprised. This is what the Cowboys are. The team as a whole tends to fold in big games. So not surprised, but they'll be as healthy as they can get. You mentioned they get a big sigh of relief. The Philadelphia Eagles choked yesterday. They look terrible. So do the Giants, by the way. Firing Jason Garrett did not solve their offensive problems. That was a bad, bad game to watch. But like I said, Cowboys get a brief sigh of relief here. Eagles lose. Believe it or not, the Washington football team actually controlled their own destiny in that division.
It's weird, isn't it?
If they win out, they win the division. They're not going to win out, of course, but if they do, they would win the division.
Now, this seems like a difficult game. Obviously, whenever you go to the Dome and face the Saints, we know about their defensive front, but we saw the Buffalo Bills manhandle them in the trenches. It did help that, obviously, no Alvin Kamara and that offense. When you have Ty Montgomery, a journeyman wide receiver slash running back, kickoff returner, whatever you want to call him. I mean, think about this. Ty Montgomery was with Green Bay, he was with the Jets, the former Stanford standout. At the end of the day, he was playing running back, just the way Cordarrell Patterson does for the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, if that's your offense, I mean, come on, man. You should be able to contain them. Here's the thing, though. If you're a Cowboy fan, you're happy to see Gallup come back. I mean, 100 yards receiving at the end of the day. No Cooper, no C.D. Lamb. If you can get productivity out of Gallup, also Tony Pollard in the short to intermediate passing game, you're starting to hum, baby, come playoff time. You just got to get there, right? At the end of the day, you have to win the division. You have to buckle down. This is a winnable game. They're not laying a whole lot because they lost against Las Vegas. Laying 7.5 at home, they lose the – it's one thing to just not cover. It's another thing to lose the ball game outright as basically a 7.5, 8-point favorite in that ball game, right? I mean, that's the biggest thing as a Cowboy fan. Just let's win. And you couldn't even get that. But here, I think on the road, they can manhandle them up front. I see Micah Parsons all over the field. I'm just not a big believer in terms of this offensive identity. Would you lay the 5.5 with Dallas in this ballgame?
Probably not. I mean, they are sort of a mess right now. It's in the Dome. They're a mess as far as the COVID situation. I mean, you went through it before. It's not just McCarthy that has COVID. That was 12 players and personnel on the COVID list. You know, Terrence Steele, their starting right tackle for most of the season, he won't play. He's in the COVID list. And then you go up and down the list. They'll be without Joe Philbin, the offensive line coach, Jeff Blasco, Harold Nash, Kendall Smith. I mean, it's up and down here. Most of the other players are more backups and guys on the practice squad. McCarthy today went on it, which is weird because Dallas is in virtual meetings, by the way. And they've been that way since Thanksgiving. So McCarthy getting it was kind of strange that he got it, you know, 3 days later after Thanksgiving. But it is what it is. You know, so I think that can be hard to overcome. We've seen that before. Maybe they do. I'm assuming it'll be Dan Quinn running the team on Thursday night, since he has head coaching experience. I don't think it'll be Kellen Moore, but I don't know that for sure yet either. So like I said, they have a lot of issues. COVID's run through this team most of the season. They've had different players there. And in Texas, I'm not surprised. So, like I said, it is what it is. I think I would, right now, depending on who the Saints do get back, assuming Kamara is going to be and have his normal snap load, I feel confident about that. I think the Cowboys will win, but cover. It's hard for me to have a lot of faith in this team right now. It just is. They're not playing well. I do think they'll play better Thursday night. But right now, if you ask me, Joe, I'll take the Cowboys with the Saints cover.
All right, we'll see how that game plays out. It is Thursday night, a short week for both. Well, not really a short week. It is their first game on the schedule for Week 13. Both teams did play a week ago on Thanksgiving. Let's talk about the Eagles, right? Jalen Hurts, 3 critical interceptions. Jalen Reagor drop on the last play of the game. And I know Philly fans are up in arms saying, why didn't they go for Justin Jefferson? They passed on Jefferson. Take Reagor, drops a critical. Basically, at least a key reception would have been on the 1 yard line, whether he could have fought his way in there to give the Eagles the potential tie and then kick the extra point to win it remains to be seen. But just a pitiful performance. They played down to the level of competition. I mean, Giants offense was not elite. Daniel Jones, okay, 200 yards. At the end of the day, the Giants as an underdog win this ball game by 6, 13-7. Can they get back into the race in terms of potentially stealing the division?
No, Giants. I mean, listen, Dallas is going to win the division. I don't think there's any really much doubt about that. Can the Giants really get more into the playoff territory, wild card? Probably. I mean, they looked terrible yesterday. I don't know if you watched the game, but the last drive for the Giants.
Watch the whole game.
That last drive, you're up 13-7, right? There's about 2 and change left, and you go 3 and out running plays. You coach to lose. Philadelphia should have won the game. You coach to lose, right? It ends up being 4th and 19 because the final play you have, Jones do a little rollout here. And listen, I have no problem with him sliding down. Okay, make sure Philadelphia uses their last time out. But you weren't even trying to get a first down. And they're losing 9 yards. And then, of course, you knew that the terrible punt was coming. Right? That was a lock. It was going to be a bad punt. Philadelphia gets the ball at the 40. They should have won the game. Or Gore should have caught the ball. There are several other drops by the Eagles there. Just an ugly game here. Giants are a bad team. As far as them getting back in here, their schedule's brutal. All right, they got to play Miami this week. Miami's feeling it again. Then you got to play the Chargers. Then the Cowboys. Then you're at Philadelphia again. Last 2 against Chicago, Washington. So, no. Because, once again, they'd probably have to win minimum. Can only afford one more loss. So you got to win 5 out of 6. No. Giants aren't going to get in. Philly, I think, still has a shot. Because it wouldn't shock me if they do win their last 5. But, no. I still think Dallas wins the division.
I actually thought that Freddie Kitchens would open it up and be more aggressive. Same old for the New York Giants. Unless you can win games 13-10, you're not going to win it. When we come back, Cincinnati and Joe Burrow going up against Pitt.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
Cincinnati and Joe Burrow have been one of the hottest teams in the AFC. They opened yesterday as a 3.5-point favorite over their arch rival, Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. A lot of people thought Pittsburgh coming off of that disappointing last-minute loss to Justin Herbert and the L.A. Chargers, going back on the road to Cincinnati, would step up, beat up on the young kids on the block. Well, guess what? Joe Burrow, a pedestrian day. He moved the football through the air, but it was the ground attack. Joe Mixon yet again, back-to-back 100-yard games, pounded the rock for 169 on that Steelers front 7. T.J. Watt was back. It didn't matter. A dominating home win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Cincinnati rolls, George, 41-10. Are we seeing a changing of the guard here in the AFC with the Bengals stepping up? They've now won 3 straight over the Steelers.
Yeah, right. Remember that used to never happen. Never, ever happen could the Bengals beat the Steelers. And they didn't beat them. They destroyed them yesterday. I think the two most, if I'm a Steelers fan, Mike Blewett, the two things I'm most disheartened about is A, they lost to the Chargers last Sunday night, but at least Ben looked decent, right? Throwing the football well. Yesterday, not so much. He looked terrible again. Let's get noodle arm Ben, right? Couldn't throw the ball at all into the secondary without, you know, getting it knocked down, intercepted. This wasn't crisp at all here. And you said T.J. Watt was back. Didn't matter. Didn't matter. You know, not good. Not good. I know they didn't have Joe Hayden, but that's not the excuse for Cincinnati putting that drubbing on you. Listen, Pittsburgh's just not a good team. It's I don't know who the quarterback of the future is of the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's not on their roster. They're a team that's going to be in play for it. Maybe Aaron Rodgers, if he's available next year. Russell Wilson, I think, is going to be available. I don't think they're taking Deshaun Watson. I can't see the Rooneys doing that in a million years. But they need a quarterback. It ain't Ben no more. You know, I know you and I don't like Ben. I don't like him personally or professionally anymore. But they need somebody else. It's not their guy. They're an average football team. They still have a good defense. So I think that's wearing down, too, as the season goes on. It's now back-to-back weeks, Joe. They let them, you know, what, almost 80 points in 2 weeks. All right, so they got issues here all over the place.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger, 24-41, 263, one touchdown, two interceptions. On the flip side, Joe Burrow, I mean, accurate, 20-24, methodical, 190 yards, one touchdown, one INT, but the identity of Cincinnati is there. I mean, Joe Mixon has stepped up now in back-to-back weeks. 2 weeks ago against Las Vegas and Max Crosby in that front seven, he pounded the rock for 120-plus, two touchdowns on the ground. Burrow only threw, I think, for 147 yards in that matchup. He follows that up this week, 165-2. I mean, that offensive line is starting to come into form. And if they can run the football more consistently down the stretch, they're starting to become not just a division contender, but potentially maybe a contender for the Super Bowl. And I know that sounds crazy, but when you see the inconsistency, you see the inconsistency of Buffalo in recent weeks. We've now seen Tennessee fall off a map with back-to-back losses to New England and also Houston. I mean, the two hottest teams right now, in terms of if we had to judge right now, the two best teams playing the best football after week 12, to me, are New England with Mac Jones from an offense and defensive perspective. And now I would say Cincinnati, based off of this performance against Pittsburgh. I know Kansas City is there, but still, I'm not sold that Kansas City's offense is complete in terms of the running game. So that's why I would back Cincinnati. And Joe Burrow in a big spot, even though it's his second year, let me tell you something, he's handling the pressure just fine.
Now, Kansas City's won 5 of 6, so they're certainly one of the top two teams if you're going to go that direction. Cincinnati's
Yeah, but their running game, George, is not consistent. That's the problem.
And Cincinnati's not consistent. I mean, they do it all season. Win one, lose one. Win two, lose one. Win two, lose two. That's the definition of inconsistent. All right, I think Cincinnati's an up-and-coming team. I'm not putting them in the Super Bowl hunt. No, thank you. I don't know. They got to prove to me they can win on the road in December and January before I get anywhere near this. They got to prove to me they're the best team in their division. Yeah, I'm not so sure of that either. We'll see. One good thing for them is they are beating teams in their division. But they got destroyed by Cleveland, which is really weird when you think about it. Just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, they got destroyed by Cleveland, 41-16. But they've beaten up Baltimore, 41-17, and they've beaten Pittsburgh twice, 24-10, and yesterday, 41-10. They certainly don't play close games in their division. They either blow out or get blown out. So, listen, we're going to find out about Cincinnati. This week, Chargers. Then the 49ers. Then, I don't know what we think about the Broncos, but they play at Denver. Then Baltimore. Then Kansas City. Then Cleveland. This is the schedule from hell. So, we're going to find out about Cincinnati. We'll know. You know, come end of mid-January, if they are a Super Bowl team. I'm not putting them there yet. Certainly not. They are inconsistent. I root for Cincinnati. Do I think they're going to win the division? Not with that schedule. Do I think they might miss the playoffs? Yeah. Do I think it would be a complete negative if they miss the playoffs? No. Because I think they have taken that next step forward. I think there's still obviously fixes to be made here. They'll take care of that with draft free agency. But I think they're the light's by far there at the end of the tunnel. You can see the light. You know, it's going to be with the offense, sure, but they fix up that defense, which has played better than we thought anyway this season, and they're going to be a team to be reckoned with. I don't think this is a one-year-and-done team, like, oh, they'll be terrible again next year. No, but that schedule tells me, boy, making the playoffs is going to be rough, and I don't see it winning the division.
Well, now, they square off with Justin Herbert in L.A., okay? And when you look at the AFC championship odds right now on FanDuel, Kansas City is the favorite at plus 330. Buffalo's back on track with that dominant effort in the dome against Trevor Siemian. They're plus 400. Baltimore now 5-1. New England, as hot as they're playing, plus 550. Tennessee, even though they lost, they're 8-1. I don't see that because their identity is starting to change. Tannehill's not the answer. 93 pass yards is not going to get it done.
Ugh.
And then you have Herbert at 13-1. Cincinnati at 14-1. So if we're talking value and we're talking about how to make a run here, I mean, to buy into Cincinnati right here, right now, when every other team is in front of them, isn't a bad shot. I mean, to win, we're not talking to win the Super Bowl, win the AFC Championship. All you have to do is get there, and if you could pound the rock and have a solid front seven and have a trigger man like Joe Burrow that can move the football through the air and with your legs, you have an opportunity.
Well, they have an opportunity. I don't think there's any doubt they have an opportunity. My problem is if you're for this bet, the way I look at it, you're probably going to need to win 3 road games.
Okay.
If you're going to be a wild card team, 3 road games. I just don't see Cincinnati. That's assuming they can get in. You know, listen, they've got a great shot. They are literally only a game behind Baltimore. You know, they did since they won the first game against Baltimore. They would hold the tiebreaker. You know, but they got to play him again. You know, but you're playing him at home. So the opportunity is certainly there. I don't think anybody can say, oh, they don't have a chance. No, they've got a shot. I just don't think what I'm seeing from the schedule. There's nothing to do with the team. They're playing a lot of teams that either are as good as them, maybe better than them, or, you know, a tick below them. That's a lot to ask for, especially the way the season's going this year. We're seeing it over and over again. Yeah, there's quagmire. Everybody's pretty much even, it seems like. You never know who's going to win. Chargers, 49ers, Broncos, Ravens, Chiefs, Browns. That's a lot of games there. If they go 4-2, that would be extremely impressive. 4-2 probably wins you the division. 3-3 is probably more likely because of the schedule. 2-4 wouldn't shock me either. 2-4 probably doesn't get you in. 3-3 probably does. So they need to go at least .500. Do I think they can do it? Sure. But that won't win you the division, which is why I can't take the bet you're talking about at 14-1. I think it's getting better odds than 14-1. Three straight road games? That's rough for anybody.
All right, well, they're home this week to L.A. and Justin Herbert. It is back-to-back road games for the Chargers. Didn't step up yesterday, lose that ball game by 15 points to Teddy Bridgewater and the Denver Broncos. Herbert with a critical interception in the third quarter with Patrick Surtain. They just never found their groove. They're 3-point underdogs, -118 on FanDuel. Total set at 50 and a hook and -110 either way. You would think that this game favors Cincinnati, but I will say that L.A. is one of those helter-skelter teams. You got to bet them every other week. Now, they're coming off 2 no covers. They got the win against Pittsburgh Sunday night. They won but did not cover the 5.5, 6-point number. They were covering for much of the third quarter and then let that ball game slip. They lose this past weekend. But they seem to win every other week, right? 4 weeks ago, they beat Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles as a 2-point road favorite. They then follow that up with a loss. They come back home to face Pittsburgh. They win. They go on the road to Denver. They lose. And now it's back-to-back road games. They're 3-point dogs. Most likely, in this situation, they're going to step up. I lean still to Cincinnati in this ball game, but I gotta tell you, the total at 50.5 in this matchup is sort of appealing to take the over here.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm with you, Joe. I like everything you just said there. The Chargers, listen. I was talking with Dane Martinez and Mike Blue on Pro Football Today yesterday. And Dane and I said the same thing. We weren't touching the Charger game. Yeah, we don't know what to think about them. You never know when they're going to show up to play. They're the most inconsistent team maybe in the NFL. You can't trust them ever. Ever. Do I think this could be the week they do show up? Yeah, I do. You never know. Hey, will they travel well to Cincinnati? Maybe. You know, they can run the ball. We know they can throw the ball. But the Chargers are a much better team on paper than what they play on the field. Right? They have the players everywhere. You got Bose. You got Derwin James in the secondary. We know the offense can score 1,000 points. Yeah, the offensive line is beat up. I think that's part of the problem here. And we'll see if Cincinnati can take advantage of that. But I'm with you. I think a lot of points are going to be scored in this game. I'll be on the over 50.5 as well.
Yeah, let's talk about the Giants. You talked about the Giants stepping up, and they have a very difficult schedule. Two of the hottest teams in the NFC that they ripped through and beat with Philadelphia. They also faced Tampa Bay a couple of weeks ago. Did not cover that matchup. They're 3-point dogs against a hot Brian Flores and Tua Miami Dolphin team, -114 on FanDuel. When we come back, we'll break down that game. 41.5 is the total, -110 either way. Can Miami take another step closer to potentially a wild card spot. We'll find out next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Don't look now, but the Miami Dolphins are one of the hottest teams in the NFL. They've won four straight games. They were two-point dogs yesterday against Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. They took care of business, too, with a big day, 230 yards through the air, one touchdown. Jaylen Waddle, nine receptions, 137 yards and a touchdown. Gaskins with two rushing touchdowns. Cam Newton got benched. That's how bad the Carolina offense was. And the Miami Dolphins now move to 5-7 on the year and potentially one step closer to maybe, George, a wild card berth. I didn't believe it 4 weeks ago, but Scott Wetzel, my co-host on College Football Today, also on Pro Football Full Circle, he came on, he said he thought they were a contender. I got to be honest, I've bought in now. I'm back to being a Dolphin fan because they are red hot. They now face Joe Judge and the New York Giants. They're three-point favorites at home against Danny Dimes and the crew. I got to be honest with you, there's no way they should lose this game. And they typically play the New York Giants very difficult when they do match up, either in East Rutherford or South Beach. Give me the Dolphins early on in this ballgame.
Oh, I mean, I don't see how you can bet the Giants. I don't see how the Giants could win or even play well. They were horrific yesterday. I know they won the game. They just weren't as bad as Philadelphia. You said it earlier, Hurts was well. I think he's still throwing interceptions, and Philadelphia's still dropping passes. You know, so yeah, there was a not good. Not good, to put it nicely, is what the Giants played yesterday. You fired Garrett, and you said, I thought Kitchens would open things up more as well. And that offense, you scored 13 points. You know, so it was bad. Very bad.
Let me ask you this. Is Barkley washed up? Is he done at this point? I mean, he's so young. But, I mean, where's the explosiveness? Where's the short screen game with him? He's just non-existent now.
Is he done? I think it depends upon your definition. Is he ever going to be that player? No. No, I don't think he's ever going to be that player anymore. You know, then so many running backs aren't. You know, Ezekiel Elliott's not that player anymore. Hasn't been for years. Running backs, they lose it so quick. They lose it so quick. He's had all these injuries. No, I don't think he'll ever be that guy anymore. Do I still think he can be a good running back? Sure. But he needs the blocking now to get him something. He can't do it as much by himself anymore. And listen, it doesn't help him any that, once again, Tony's gone. No one's afraid of Daniel Jones. So linebackers, safeties are creeping up. You know, they make sure they are taking him away, force Daniel Jones to beat them, that sort of thing. So Giants, they have a lot of work to do. Now, there's another team that's likely to undergo a house cleaning. All right, Gettleman should be gone in the offseason. I don't know if Judge survives. I would think if Gettleman goes, new GM, not going to want Judge. All right, so he's gone. Daniel Jones, probably gone. Right, so it's a completely different team next year, and probably the way they need to go. Remember, Giants probably actually don't want to win games in some ways. You have two first-round picks. Coming into yesterday, they were both top 10 picks. All right, you have yours and the Bears. Unfortunately, both of those teams won this week, so you dropped down a bit. I don't know where they are overall now. But so it sort of is what it is there. Giants, they're not going anywhere. All right, your schedule the rest of the season is far from kind. I know, once again, if the Giants were to win out, yeah, you'd probably get in the playoffs. Now, you probably do, but Miami, Chargers, Dallas, Philadelphia, then those Bears and the Washington football team. You're not winning out, all right? Your worst-case scenario is you win two or three more games. You finish in that 7-10 range. Probably put you around, you know, pick 14, 15, 16, which doesn't get you that top player. You know, that sort of thing there. So, like I said, the Giants, Joe, in my mind, this is an off-season of change, massive change coming from the Giants.
Well, think about this in terms of Barkley, okay? 13 rushes, 40 yards. He had a 32-yarder on one carry. So basically on 12 carries, he had 8 yards. That is absolutely pathetic. And to your point about the wide receivers, I understand Kadarius Toney's not there. But Galladay, how much money did we throw at this guy? I mean, 3 receptions, 50 yards. When are you going to live up to expectations? When are we going to design plays to create one-on-one opportunities for this guy? I mean, Evan Ingram, 3 receptions, 37 yards. He had that in the second quarter. Could we go to him in the second half? Like, I don't understand the mentality of the New York Giants. And granted, they're a dead under team. Every time you bet them, just bet the under, because that's what Joe Judge and that's what the offense wants to do. Better to win games 13-10 than, God forbid, trying to win a game 41-20. We don't want to win like that. We're the Giants. Conservative and blue. I mean, come on. They are a tough watch. In today's NFL, if you have a quarterback, and I said it yesterday, call me crazy, but if you have a quarterback that can't throw for 100 yards in a half, with today's rules that cater to you, where you can get a pass interference call on basically 8 out of 10 pass plays over 10 yards, and you can only throw for less than 100 yards and a half, Go on Craigslist and find another job, because quarterbacks that are stealing money in the NFL right now and offensive coordinators that don't have an aggressive mindset for an NFL organization need to be kicked to the curb. This isn't 1985, George. This Giants mentality is ridiculous. Look at all the other teams in the division. Dallas, wide open offense. Even Washington, they're opening it up with Heinicke. They have playmakers. The Giants are like, they're like Vic Fangio. They really are. And Matt Nagy, the same type of conservative approach. And that's why they haven't won a Super Bowl since the last time. I mean, it's been a period of time now without Eli. I mean, come on. What are we doing if you're a Giant fan? You drafted this guy, Daniel Jones, the second coming of Eli. Oh, really? He can't throw more than 15 yards.
I have no comeback for you. I agree with everything you said. All right, so I can't even play devil's advocate with you, which I like to do from time to time, but I can't do it. All right, everything you said is true. The Giants have not adjusted to today's football. I think part of that is because they know they don't have the personnel to do it, and by that I mean the quarterback, offensive line as well. You brought up Galladay in your little speech there. Yeah, he hasn't been anywhere near the player they thought he was going to be, right? I think they thought, hey, okay, well, go blame it on Garrett, right? It's all going to be Garrett's fault. But you sort of knew that was coming after that press conference from from Judge last week, right? When he pretty much said, coach, it's not the player's fault, it's the coach's fault. Yeah, it's the player's fault. All right, but the coaching doesn't help any. The Giants have all sorts of issues. I think they know that Daniel Jones is not the answer. He's not going to be that guy. The offensive line can't give anybody protection or open up running lanes enough for for Barkley to go here. So the Giants have all sorts of issues here. All sorts of issues. I think you're 100% correct when you said they haven't adjusted to today's game, which is more of a wide-open game. It's what the NFL wants. All the rules are made for the quarterback to throw the ball up and down the field. Where if you don't complete a pass, you might get a pass interference penalty. We saw that on Thanksgiving all day. That's just what it is. And the Giants have not adjusted to that. They're playing more 80s, 90s football, which is not going to work in today's game, not unless you have a great defense. And while their defense can be good, it's far from great. Far from great. And you saw that at the end of the Philadelphia game, you watched that final drive by Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts could have had pizza back there, a coffee, a beer, and ice cream before the Giants were going to get to him. They only lost the game because the receivers kept dropping the damn football. You catch the ball, you win the game. Also, Philadelphia, maybe you want to target Devonta Smith. Maybe you want to target Dallas Goedert when the game's on the line here, not Jalen Agora. But, hey, that is what it is. The Giants are in a whole lot of trouble. They are probably the worst team in this division right now. That being said, they're not all that much worse than Philadelphia, all that much worse than Washington. But they've got work to do here. Those two number one picks should come in handy. I'm just afraid, like I said, they're going to win a couple more games. They'll find a way to win versus the Bears. When they play the Bears. Well, they'll find a way to beat maybe a Chargers team, maybe even a Miami team. And they win 7 games, and instead of a top 10 pick, now you get a top 16, top 17 pick. They need good players to overcome this coaching. But that being said, I got to think. I mean, do you think there's any way that Gettleman stays here? And if Gettleman goes, odds are Judge goes. Because if Joe Lisi is hired as GM of the Giants, you're gonna want your own guy. You're not going to keep Judge. You're going to want your own guy. So Judge is probably gone too. Another head coach of the Giants gone after 2 years.
Well, I mean, I think the thing with Joe Judge was, should he even been given the job, right? He got Belichick's stamp of approval. Bill said, it's almost like having me on the sidelines. I mean, I don't even know if I buy that. If Bill said that to the Giants organization, I got to be honest with you, I would have think that he was BSing everybody. Because at the end of the day, I mean, Joe Judge came in, the coaching experience, and granted, Flores came in being under Bill, but at least the difference with Flores is this. You know, you could see that Brian, from a defensive perspective, he adjusts. I don't see Joe Judge and that staff adjust. And that's the biggest thing. It's cookie cutter. It's like, we have to win this way, otherwise we're not going to win. Right? So unless we can play down or we can control the line of scrimmage and we can win a game 13-10, that's the way it's got to be. At least Brian Flores adjusts. Look at last year. He adjusted the defensive scheme. They abused L.A. They made adjustments against Pat Mahomes. They went toe-to-toe with some of the best teams in the AFC and NFC. So if we're looking at that type of progression, granted, the schedule was a little difficult this year, but I still like Flores. When you look at Joe Judge, he's blaming everybody. Oh, he wanted to get rid of Garrett at the start of the year. Okay, Joe, so then make a change and do what you want. You are the head coach. I don't understand. And Freddie Kitchens couldn't cut it as a head coach with Cleveland. Now all of a sudden he's coaching the offense? I mean, come on now. We think that Freddie Kitchens is going to take this offense to the promised land? Just open it up. Throw 50 times a game. You don't have a running game.
Listen, once again, I think, you know, when you said Joe Judge wanted to fire Garrett for the season, I think that's true. But I think most people know, once you fire somebody, you know, when you start making those changes, well, eventually the buck stops with you. You know, and now you fired Garrett now. This house doesn't pick up any. Guess who the blame goes on? Now, you're sort of able to blame one. It's like why a GM can hire more than one coach. You can blame the first guy, but if you screw up a second time, now it's on you. Same thing here with Judge. This house doesn't work. You're fired. Garrett, who are you blaming now? You're going to blame Kitchens? Now, good luck with that. Now, good luck with that. You know, Garrett's not doing anything he wasn't told to do. You know, you think of what's getting Judge to, hey, open it up. You know, that Garrett's not going to open up the outs? Of course he is. Coach told you to do it. You know, in my mind, once again, I think Judge was saying, play more conservative. Don't make mistakes. Don't put our defense in bad, bad spots, that sort of thing. The Giants are broken. They're just broken. And I think it's going to be a while to fix because if you don't have a franchise quarterback, which they don't have, you're not going anywhere. Not in today's game.
Yeah, we'll see. We shall see. I mean, let's turn our attention quickly to the Eagles and Jets. Jets got a victory over Houston as basically a 2.5-point dog. We know about the Eagles dropping that ball game to the Giants. They're 7-point favorites on the road in East Rutherford. Back-to-back games in Giants Stadium. 45.5 is the total. I can only look Eagles to bounce back in a big way here. 45.5. I'm going to go over this total because I think they're going to be able to move the football on the front seven, on the ground and through the air against that Jets secondary.
Of course, I'm with you on the Eagles. There's no way I can go with the Jets. By the way, we already criticized how bad the Giants-Eagles game was. You live in the New York area. You don't have the package. You can't watch the other games. You had to watch Giants versus the Eagles and Jets-Texans. I'm just happy you're still here with us today. All right, I think I showed some survival skills there. You didn't jump off a roof. That was bad football. Reminded me of 80s football, but, you know, before anything where you had to watch, like, yeah, Giants, Cardinals at 4 o'clock and Jets, Colts at 1 o'clock. And all four teams is terrible. You just want to strangle yourself. Give me the Eagles here. I don't know if I'm going to go with the over. I think Eagles could destroy them. You probably need the Eagles to score 30-plus points this game, I think. I don't know if I can trust that, but give me the Eagles.
Yeah, the Eagles had a shot to win the division. Now with that loss, we'll see if they can bounce back in a big way. Right now on FanDuel, Philly 100-1 to win it all. When we come back, we'll wrap it up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, we're going to look ahead to week number 13. Dominating performance by Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks yesterday as three-point road favorites against Indianapolis and Carson Wentz. They started slow. They trailed 21-10 early in the first half, but Leonard Fournette, Rob Gronkowski got it going. Fournette, what a huge day on the afternoon. 13 carries, 100 yards, and three rushing touchdowns. Also added 31 receiving yards and a touchdown. Four touchdowns for Leonard Fournette. Gronkowski had seven receptions, 123 yards. They win 38-31. That defense contained Jonathan Taylor. Only 87 rushing yards on the afternoon. Now Tampa Bay goes back on the road. They face an Atlanta team that did get the victory on the road yesterday in Jacksonville. Two-point favorites. Cordarrelle Patterson came back over 100 yards on the ground. Two rushing touchdowns. Now Atlanta, in this matchup this coming Sunday, is 10.5-point underdogs on FanDuel, minus 105. You want to take a shot on Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. They're minus 115 total set at 50 and a hook, minus 110 either way. I got to be honest with you. I know the money is probably going to pour in on Tampa Bay in this matchup, especially since Atlanta got abused by New England on Thursday night. But I'm inclined to take the 10.5 with the Dirty Birds in this ballgame. I think they'll find a way to keep it within the number. When you look at the total, obviously they're going to have to run the football. That's going to be a concern going up against the front seven of the Buccaneers. Lean to the over, but don't feel strong about it. I do feel stronger about the Falcons at home in that ballgame. On the flip side, we look at Indianapolis that lost that ballgame to Tom Brady and the Bucs. They now are on the road to face a Houston Texans team that could not take care of business against the New York Jets. Indy laying 8.5 on FanDuel. Minus 110 either way. I lean to the Colts, but we'll break this game down along with all the others throughout the week. For George Kurtz, our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.